This message is a ministry of North River Church. Visit us online at gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word this morning and join me in the book of Psalms. If you don't know where Psalms are, if you split your Bible in half, I will pretty much guarantee you'll make your way to Psalms. So it's about in the middle of the Bible, and we're going to look at Psalm 148 this morning, so almost towards the end of the Psalms. This is a victory psalm, a victory song. And coming into this Thanksgiving season, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much as believers to sing about, to praise God about. And what we're going to see this morning in the text is a very simple phrase used over and over and over again. And that phrase is, praise the Lord. I want you to help me out with this for just a moment as we get ready to read the text this morning. I want you to say those three words with me. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
That was pretty good. I'll let that stand for now. We may go back to that here in just a little bit. But I want you to do me a favor this morning, and I want you to listen to Psalm 148 and just consider the words of the psalmist this morning. The psalmist writes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. And He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you caught the tenor of the passage, but I'm just going to go out on a limb this morning and say that the psalmist is concerned with all of creation praising the Lord. Did y'all get that? Not sure if you were there with me or not, if you were tracking, but that's what the psalmist is concerned about. And if you notice the way that he breaks it down, he moves from the top all the way down. So he begins in the heavens, and then he moves from the heavens into what we would consider the solar system. And then he moves from there down to the earth and even in the oceans of the earth, and then he ends with you and I. And so this morning, as we consider Thanksgiving coming up, you know, there's a ton of things that we could be thankful for this morning, but if we're going to really boil it all down, our thanks ultimately is to the Lord. We could be thankful for many things. We could be thankful for family. We could be thankful for food. We could be thankful for being off work. Amen. We can be thankful for any number of things, and yet the psalmist this morning pulls us back into the context of ultimately praising the Lord and being thankful for the victory he secured for us. I mentioned to you that this was a victory psalm. This was a psalm that was penned after an amazing victory by the nation of Israel. And I want you to take the context of that and apply it to us specifically as believers here this morning. This is a psalm of victory for the salvation that Christ has secured on our behalf. We as Gentiles, not Jewish people, not of the nation of Israel, the scriptures tell us have been grafted in. We've been brought in to God's people. And as believers this morning, that is who we are. And that is who this psalmist is writing to, God's people. And he reminds us, first truth we see in the text this morning, that God is completely deserving of all the praise that could ever be offered to him. God is completely deserving of all of the praise that could ever be offered to him. I would dare say that all of the praise that could ever be mustered by all of the mouths and all of creation, God is completely deserving of all of that plus some. Amen. This is the God who is Lord over all. This is the God who created all with his very words. This God should be worshiped. The psalmist begins, as I mentioned, in the heavens to start with. And he says, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Have you ever wondered what's going on in heaven now? It's a clear picture of what is happening. We see this in a couple of other parts of the scriptures. We see it in Isaiah chapter 6 when Isaiah says that he sees the Lord high and lifted up and he's seated on a throne. And the seraphim are flying around and they're crying out to one another. It's an echo in the chambers of the Lord's throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We see it as we get into the book of Revelation. We see that same picture played out for us. If you want to know what heaven is like, if you want to know what is going on there right now, as we sing praises to the Lord, so are they. The creatures that are there, the angels that are there, the seraphim that are there, they are all praising the Lord. You got to imagine just for a moment the constant chorus and the constant echo in heaven of praise to the Lord. As we sing here, we are simply taking part in just a small portion of what's been going on in the heavens since God created. All of the heavenly beings are crying out praise to the Lord. Verse 3 says, praise him, sun and moon. You ever wondered why the sun and the moon exist? You say, well, of course, Michael. The sun gives us light. Sun gives us heat. The moon helps the tides come in and go out so the waters don't cover the earth. No. That's just kind of the afterthought of what they do. The primary purpose for the sun and the moon is to praise the Lord. Meaning that they're simply for us a constant billboard of praise being offered to the Lord. So when we look up and we see the sun and we see the moon, we're just seeing once again a chorus of praise being lifted up to the Lord for who he is and for what he's done. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. The stars have one mission, as they twinkle. And that is to offer praise to the Lord. And so when you walk out of your home at night and you look up into the stars and you see them and you see how far they are spread around and you sit back and you just contemplate for a minute, why are they there? They're there to offer praise to the Lord. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Listen to verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. When's the last time you commanded something to be created? We don't do that, do we? We don't speak and see things jump into existence. We don't stop and just say, you know what, I'd like a cheeseburger right now. Cheeseburger, exist. And you could drive to McDonald's and when it's finished, get a cheeseburger. But that's not the way we operate, but that is the way God operates. In fact, the Bible says back in Genesis chapter 1 that God simply spoke and creation leapt into existence. That God said, let there be light, and there was light. That God said, let there be a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night, and there was sun and there was moon. That God said, let the heavens expand and cover over the earth, and that's exactly what they did. And when God spoke, it jumped into existence. And here He says, let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? Because He commanded and they were created. Why should they praise the name of the Lord? Because He spoke them into existence. Were you ever misbehaving as a child and a parent looked at you and said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out? God brought all of creation into being. And the psalmist here says, it just follows from that, that all of creation would be praising the Lord. You see, here's the second truth I want you to see this morning. It extends not only to the creation that we see here, but it extends to us. God's creation is uniquely equipped to offer the praise that He deserves. God's creation is uniquely equipped to offer the praise that He deserves. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 19 as well. That all of creation exists to praise the Lord. You see the psalmist here in Psalm 148 reminding us the reason for which all of these things exist, including us, is to praise the Lord. He keeps going and he says, He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Notice as He moves from the heavens down to the earth. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures, Shamu, praise the Lord. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. All of these things in verse 8 that could bring terror to us are there existing to praise the Lord. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, yes, even mosquitoes, creeping things, roaches. You ever wondered why they exist? But just be honest, why do mosquitoes exist? Like, I've tried to figure that out before, just thinking through that, trying to be logical. I mean, something that sticks a needle in your arm and drinks your blood. I mean, I just don't know. But evidently, mosquitoes exist to praise the Lord. And then he moves to verse 11. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. I want you to notice something that is a bit different about verses 11 and 12 than the rest of the verses that we covered. There's a difference, the Bible says, about us as God's special creation that has been created in His image and the rest of creation. You see, we're the only ones that have that designated sticker slapped to us that says, not made in China, but made in the very image of God. That's who you are, and that's who I am. The reason that life is precious is because God has stamped on every single life that we were made in His image. We're the only part of creation that was made in the very image of God. And in fact, we're the only part of creation that has the opportunity of choosing to praise the Lord or not. If you notice, the rest of creation is under obligation to praise the Lord. The sun doesn't have an option. The sun doesn't sit up and say, you know, I think I'm not going to praise you today. No, that's what it does. The stars don't have an option. The oceans don't have an option. The trees and the plants, they don't have an option. They must praise the Lord. That's the reason for which they were created. They stand constantly screaming out a constant billboard of praise offered to the Lord. But you and I have a decision to make about this. You and I have the privilege of praising the Lord, but He doesn't make us. You and I have the option of choosing to praise the Lord or not. We can bow before Him or not. We can lift up praises to His name or not. Now, we're guaranteed in Philippians chapter 2 that a day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. But until that day comes, we have the choice of making a constant decision of praising the Lord or not. See, what's interesting that the psalmist lays out for us here is that what applies to the kings applies to the young teenager as well. There's level ground as we seek to praise the Lord. What we notice is that the praise of the Lord issued by a king or a ruler is no greater in God's eyes than that issued by a child. God doesn't play favorites. God doesn't look and say, I like you a little bit better than someone else, so your praise is sweeter to my ears than theirs is. See, the reality that we see is that all of creation, including us, when we praise the Lord, we live as we were intended to live. We come to this Thanksgiving season and we pause and we think about all the things that we are thankful for. We pause and we think about the things that God has given to us. We think about the great opportunities that God has placed before us. Just the simple fact that we eat and there's leftovers on Thanksgiving. It's pretty impressive in the grand scheme of what's going on in the world. And all those things are things that we should be thankful for. But church, I'm here to say to you this morning, the greatest thing that we can thank and praise God for is what He's done for us in Christ. I mentioned to you that this was a victory psalm. This was a victory song, and that's what he emphasizes here beginning in verse 13. He says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven." Listen to verse 14. "He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him, praise the Lord." What you realize as you dig into these verses here is this phrase, "He's raised up a horn for His people," is simply the picture of when a victory was secured in battle. One of the things that those who won would do is they would take out their horns and they would blow their horns so that all would know that the battle has been won, the victory has been secured, they have triumphed over their enemy. And here we see the psalmist give us a very clear picture. This victory that the nation of Israel won, that was the impetus for this psalm being written, was simply foreshadowing the victory that Christ would win when He conquered sin and death and rose from the grave. If you remember, when Christ returns, He comes with a shout and the trumpet is blown. We have something to be thankful for this morning. It is what Christ has done for us on the cross. The victory that He has secured for us. If we're going to thank God for anything this Thanksgiving season, may it be for the thing that matters above all other things. May it be for the thing that, when we pause and think, is the greatest thing that could have ever happened in our lives, that the very Son of God stepped foot out of heaven and stepped foot on this planet, and He lived a sinless life, and He died a death that we deserve to die, and He rose from the grave, securing the victory over sin and death for us. The horn has been sounded. It is Christ who is at the other end, who's done what we could not do, what only He could do, and that is secure for us salvation through His death on the cross. The third truth we see in the text this morning is that God grants us the great privilege of joining the unending chorus of praise. See, the truth is this morning, there's a chorus of praise that all of creation is lifting up to the Lord at this very moment. And then the invitation is offered to us of joining that chorus of praise. It may be joining that chorus of praise for the very first time for you this morning. It may be that you realize that you need to receive the salvation that Jesus' death on the cross offers to you, and that by receiving that, that you join with the rest of creation in lifting up the praise that's due the Lord's name. Maybe this morning that you are a believer, and the choice again sits before you today of choosing to praise the Lord. One of the things that our girls love to do whenever we go on a trip and it's available is to go to the Thomas Kincaid, I don't even know what you call it, art exhibit. How about that? Does that sound good? you don't know who Thomas Kincaid is, Google him, okay? But Thomas Kincaid, he's the painter of lights and beautiful paintings. Some of my favorite, I have a print of his, the only portrait that he painted of Jesus in my office. But our girls love to go in and they love to look at the paintings. And they really love it because you have the opportunity of going into some rooms and the lights dim and you get to see how the light plays off the painting. And we were talking about it one day and I asked them the question. I said, "What do you think about those paintings?" They said, "Oh, they're amazing." And I said, "Isn't it interesting that one guy painted that?" And my oldest, Anna, looked at me and she said, "He must be amazing." And I just pause for a moment and back up and think. Every sunrise that you see, every sunset that you see, every tree, at least outside of Florida, that changes colors, all of that is God's canvas on which he's painted the beauty simply says about him, he's amazing. See, we have the privilege, church, this morning, this week, and for all of our lives, to praise the Lord because he's amazing. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for a chance to pause and just to contemplate how amazing you are. Father, as we think about all of creation crying out praise to your name, as we think about the sun and the stars and the moon, as we think about the animals and the creatures and all of that being a constant flashing billboard of praise to your name. And that you invite us to join in that chorus of praise every single day. Father, if there's one here this morning that does not have a relationship with you through your son, Jesus, Lord, may the day be the day of salvation for them. May they realize that, Father, they were created uniquely gifted to praise you. And they simply need to receive the salvation that you offer through your son, Jesus. His death on the cross, his shed blood covers their sin and enables them to join in this chorus of praise. Father, for those of us in this room who are believers this morning, and in all honesty, the praise that we've offered may be just halfway done. Father, maybe we haven't been offering much at all. And yet this morning again, you invite us to join the chorus of all creation of praising your name. Father, may we do that today. May we do that this week. May we do that with our lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to stand, if you will. As we sing this morning, we sing to the one who is deserving. We sing to the one who is deserving of all praise this morning. So let's sing it like we mean it.